This is Fun Diva Christy Hoffman, and we are on the ESP Telemixer. Just for fun, I did set up a hashtag for Twitter for everyone listening. Obviously, it is very difficult for me to be Twittering at the same time, but if you use the pound sign ESPT, which stands for ESP Telemixer, then all of you can have fun following the conversation that goes on along Twitter as we go. And then everyone who wasn't here can go back and search and see the conversations that were going on after the fact. So that is a housekeeping issue that I just wanted to bring up to make it easier for everyone to access all the great information that we are sharing. So with that, I will go ahead and introduce our esteemed host, Dr. Ben Mack. Take it away, Ben.
Thank you so much, Christy. It is fantastic to be here, and we have an extraordinary lineup of some guest folks who have agreed to come by, and at one point, I'm going to be disappearing for a moment and calling out to Michelle Price, who has worked with Asaraf, John Asaraf from The Secret. I went blank on his name for a moment, and has been working with psychics for the last several years, and excited to get her perspective on coaching executive psychics and some great news, Christy, about what's going on in Boise on January 31st, the third anniversary of Butterfly Marketing, and that is that Michelle Price is going to be joining us in Boise. So she's going to be sharing with us on Sunday morning, February 1st in the morning. She's going to be one of the speakers that is presenting tools especially designed for executive psychics. Michelle Price, who we'll get to meet in a little bit later, is going to be sharing with us tools for coaching executive psychics. I'm excited that on tonight's program, Friar Wade is coming on and that somebody from his parish gave him a check so that he can join us in Boise. And also on Sunday morning, Friar Wade is going to be sharing with us a presentation on protection from the dark arts. So we're going to have an old Catholic priest sharing with us his mystical magic on protection from the dark arts. We have a chaos magician who will be in the house tonight as well as in Boise, and that is the great magician Chris Titan, who will be giving his lecture on Sunday morning, and his lecture is going to be entitled, let me come to the tip of my tongue, and it will, Christy, it just hasn't right now. And I know that yesterday in our Twitters, we were talking about the fabulous opportunity of spending 5 minutes with a neuroscientist, because one of the trending topics in the media right now, from the book Biology to the center that is in Atlanta at Emory, to over in the UK, marketers and scientists and those seeking grants are saying that we can read people's minds and increase the profitability because these big fMRI machines can tell marketers how to get people to spend more money. And without further ado, I'd like you at home to help us welcome, bring on to the program, my mom's doctor, my mom's neuroscientist, Dr. Charles Parker. Dr. Parker, welcome to the program.
Hey, Ben. Thanks for inviting me. I appreciate it.
It is awesome to be here and to be speaking in real words as opposed to the thin electrons of our emails. And
yeah, I agree with you.
There certainly was a flurry of folks that were scared by the presentation that 60 Minutes did around neuroscience and neuromarketing. And I got to tell you, Dr. Parker, when I saw the fear piece that 60 Minutes did around neuromarketing, it reminded me of that Vance Packard book called The Hidden Persuaders, where there's this invisible boogeyman of science, and that these mysterious, nefarious, mad scientists and marketers are actually secretly controlling the planet with this new mind control technology. What's your take on it, Dr. Parker? Am I crazy about this, or is it just a lot of foo-foo and hooey and smoke and mirrors and just fear for the sake of that's what makes TV get viewership?
Well, I think that's really the latter part of it is really what it was. I thought it was a marketing opportunity for them. It certainly drew viewers. I've even had friends that called me who aren't into brain science at all, and they thought, you know, the idea of being able to read your mind, the idea of reading the mind was the announcer, I can't remember who it was right now, but she kept using that phrase, and he kept talking about thought recognition. And actually looking at it from an evidence-based medicine point of view. Actually, he wasn't using it from a medicine point of view. But, you know, in a way, that piece is kind of old news, interestingly enough, because V.S. Ramachandran, who is with UC in San Diego, wrote a piece in edge.org. I don't know if you're familiar with that at all, but it's a very interesting piece back all the way in 2000 on mirror neurons and looking at functional magnetic resonance imaging to see mirror neurons. And what they were doing was they took people and took MRI photos of them while they were watching the Super Bowl game to see which one of the ads actually stimulated the mirror neurons, which are very indicative of a positive response on a person. Ramachandran's point is that we learn as human beings through the mirror neurons, which are in the posterior lateral dorsal section of the prefrontal cortex. And they all light up when they lit up more on the Budweiser ads than they did on the Disney ads, interestingly enough, and the Budweiser ads won. Mm-hmm. And the mirror neurons are really quite interesting because they have to do with how we learn. And he goes into this in quite in depth in the article, and I think it was written around 2000 in edge.org. So it's kind of old news. It's interesting to see that people are actually taking it to the next steps with biology and with looking at it as a marketing principle.
I'm curious about a technique that Dr. Christopher Hyatt prescribed to me when I was working with him at the Extreme Individual Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And what he recommended that I do was to spend one day with each of the major arcana within the tarot cards, within the tarot arcana,
mm-hmm.
so that I would go through the day and think of myself as an emperor, or I would go through the day and think of myself as the fool, or I would go through the day and think of myself as any of the characters within the tarot major arcana. And I'm curious from a brain science perspective how it affects my mind when I focus on an iconic imagery, let's say like seeing myself as the emperor. Does looking at an image of an emperor and the value systems and the behavior systems that I might attach to that archetype, does that impact the way that my body and mind work?
My sense of it is absolutely yes. You know, the mind in itself can make a hell of heaven or a heaven of hell. And, you know, John Milton a long time ago. And what happens is, it's like the CBS special or the 60 Minutes, you could actually see the person identifying through different patterns in their brain a screwdriver. So, but it's not just one place where that screwdriver occurs, nor is it just one place that the emperor occurs. An emperor is a constellation of associations. And what happens is, if we imagine ourselves and actually go through the process, and this is really very much in play in athletics, where people imagine themselves going over the bar or breaking whatever, the record on the 100-yard dash, and they imagine it, they actually then walk into the reality that they've actually created in their brains before they get there. And I mean, there was a book a long time ago, which was a sales and marketing and branding book. I mean, you know much more about branding than I do, but I think it was As a Man Thinketh. And from that, what they found is if you think about those things, you can actually become them. And in the same way, if you're thinking negative, if you're thinking terrible thoughts, or if you're just involved with violence and victimhood and that sort of thing, then you live that kind of life.
And as a scientist, when Christy and I and Michelle Price and Mark Horn and the others that are involved in the ESP boot camp work with psychics on teaching them to give satisfying and fulfilling tarot readings or other types of oracle readings. The process of going through some of these readings, like there's an article that Justin Boland wrote on at ESPBootcamp.com that is on a magic trick, a theatrical magic trick that was created, I believe, by Jeff McBride. It's either on Jeff McBride's page or created by him and presented by my proper noun, Anamia, is not bringing the other name to the tip of my tongue. But the trick is called Liberation Ritual. And Justin Boland comes from the perspective that by buying this $25 magic trick and presenting it to an executive as suggested in the instructions, that going through that theatrical magic trick actually embeds or infuses or releases, I think that's a better word, it releases stigma that can be buried inside of a person and helps them feel lighter. And so that by performing a magic trick, it actually becomes a liberation ritual for the performer, and that it creates the possibility that the more times you do that theatrical piece, that you actually create, manifest a type of liberation inside of your psyche, inside of your person, inside of your mind. Does that make sense to you from a brain science perspective, Dr. Parker?
It sure does. I mean, you know, sort of leading the witness, but I have to confess to you, that's definitely where everybody is. It makes a sense from the point of view. One of my favorite terms, Ben, you'll get a kick out of this, is neurodendritic rearborization.
Oh, I, you know, it's that's a word I've been trying to cut back because I've been using it far too often.
It's something you spring on your friends on Saturday night over dinner, you know. But you can picture the neurodendrites rearborizing and actually growing and connecting in ways only through your imagination. And there's several really good books written on that. I've reviewed a number of them on my site, basically talking about the whole process of imagination. And for example, even in obsessive compulsive disorder, you can see that a person who's stuck in a thought pattern, they're very locked in. They've done this with monkeys, they've done it with primates, and they've done it with human beings, although we haven't been able to look at the brains of human beings until this new technology is beginning to help us look at brains of human beings. But what happens is people who are stuck, we can see this, for example, when we do SPECT imaging. I've been doing SPECT imaging since 2003. Actually looking at brain function for psychiatric people who have issues where they're stuck or they are refractory to care. We just don't scan people willy-nilly, but a person who really finds themselves in some developmental arrest, so to speak, quote-unquote, on that one. You can take a picture. You can actually see their brain functioning when different tasks are in place. And with that, you can see where they get stuck. You can see where they're actually emotionally off, where they get angry real easily, where they have diminished function. And this technology has been in practice for 20 years now. And you know, the guy that trained me, Daniel Amen out in California, he's been doing it since the early 90s. So,
when people want to get more information about your specialty in brain science and neuroscience and to learn more about mirror neurons, Dr. Parker, where can people go to learn more about you?
Well, they can come over to my site, CorePsych, CorePsych. The core of psychiatry is changing every day, and what I'm doing is doing everything I can to report it to the public so people can see the application of the science, because it is scary. I saw the comments there on 60 Minutes, and people were terrified. But I can tell you, right this minute, people are using that beam business to actually measure blood flow. They have a transducer where they shoot a beam through the skin, through the skull, off the brain, back to the another receiving transducer, and you can tell what the blood flow is in the prefrontal cortex. And you can
My nipples get hard when you say the word transducer. That's fantastic. People can go to CorePsych.com. That's
P-S-Y-C-H, yep.
Yeah, P-S-Y-C-H.org?
No, .com, yep.
.com. CorePsych.com. This has been fantastic, Dr. Parker. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Hopefully you'll be back next week for our next telemixer if you're available.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Ben. I appreciate having the chance to talk to you.
It's great, and I appreciate your work with my mom. Thank you for taking care of her.
Oh, thank you, Ben. So you
very
have a pleasant evening.
Thanks much.
Bye.
Christy, that was fantastic. And now for our evening's entertainment, where shall we go next, sweet pea?
Can we impose on Dr. Parker for questions, or is he already gone?
No, I'm here. Just signing off from Ben.
Would that be too much to ask? Because I'm certain that I've had things pop into my head. If anyone on the line has a question for Dr. Parker, use 5-star to raise your hand. I should be repeating 5-star, 5-star if you would like to ask Dr. Parker a question while he's still there. Because I had a question, so I'm really very selfishly motivated that I asked if we could do that. So if we have no one else, I'll go ahead and go.
I'm a big fan of being selfishly motivated, a big fan of the selfish gene, and I'll encourage you to be direct, Christy, as we do the stuff, and I'll also encourage you as we do programs together to get very intentional about our purpose in terms of whatever exercise it might be. And there are times where when saying, does anybody have a question, if you got a question, you know what, guys? You know how to raise your hand. It's *5. You're badasses. You're going to remember from week to week. Christy's going to ask her question. When she's asked her question, if there aren't any hands up, we're moving on to our other guest for tonight, and that's how it's going to work between now and January 31st. It's no dilly-dallying around. What I'm needing for this, I'm spending about $5,000 or $6,000 out of pocket to make ESP boot camp happen. And there's a lot of people so far. I think there's about 14 people that are flying in from out of town. And so they're spending each between $2,000 and $4,000. We've got about $100,000 of commerce that is probably measurable in the city of Boise. And the reason why that commerce is happening here is because we're teaching psychics how to become more sustainable. We're teaching you how to share your gentle art with others in a profitable way, in a way in which it's satisfying for you and for them. You get money for your sustainability, and they get their questions asked, answered. And with that, Christy, what is your fabulous question for Dr. Parker?
Yes, Dr. Parker, as I watched the 60 Minutes special, they indicated that these technologies were already in place. And it was a reflection on me living in Las Vegas that I'm sure the casinos have this technology. I'm sure the government has this technology. Do you see this? Do you agree with the 60 Minutes? One of the commentators in 60 Minutes said.
I'm gonna interrupt here. I'm going to turn this into a teaching thing. Christy, question for you. What's the purpose of our show here tonight?
To get people to ESP boot camp.
Fantastic. And in terms of sales, the energy that happens in sales when we create entrainment and bonding is good, luscious stuff. And when we bring up that tone of conspiracy theories and, you know what, these big, awful, huge, evil entities like casinos using technology, scary stuff like neuroscience, that's not buying energy.
Is it if I want to use it for myself?
No, it's not.
And
buying
how do
energy.
I do that?
You ask him offline when it's not the sales, it's not the theater of the sales. Because that energy of bringing up conspiracy and the fragility within people, we would need to go from that space to triumph. Because what we do is we orchestrate the energy, and you are becoming an energy dancer, and you are a master of energy dancing. That's what you do for a living as a stripper in Vegas. You energy dance. You give guys this energy that's fuel for their soul, and they say yes with dollars, and they keep spending more. Many times a guy will sit down with $200 or $300 in his pocket and in one stream will give you all of the money in his wallet. You've made that happen again and again in strip clubs, haven't you, Christy?
Yes.
And if you were to talk to one of those guys and say, hey, let's talk about conspiracy in the casinos for a moment, like after he spent $40 or $60, what's going to happen?
I know what you want me to say, and I know what I've said. Okay, we'll move on.
Well, speak up. You're not comfortable with this.
You get my head swimming, and it's hard to follow.
Sure.
I just wanted to know how realistic it is that human beings can tap into this technology.
Not a problem.
Was the core of what I wanted to ask Dr. Parker.
It's not a problem. All that was taking it in the reading your mind thing, and they were getting off on the whole thing. And actually, that draws a person in, and to Ben's point, it draws in people on more of a fear base. And really, the truth of the matter is it's an extremely constructive process in which you find out more that you just didn't know. It's like looking under a rock that you couldn't look under. And it's not a bad thing. It's just curiosity with more information, and the information is helpful. But the whole idea of mind control and all that is not anywhere near going to happen. You have to get specifically hooked up and do it, and they're not there. You know, the idea in five years that they're going to be able to pull pieces out of your mind and find out what you're thinking, I don't think that's true.
I'm going to need your help here, Dr. Parker, because I created an energy, and it's sort of like what Kurt Vonnegut describes as a man in a hole.
Mm-hmm.
I've created this void right now. I've created this dynamic tension of unprofitability.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need to do some sort of energy dance. And if there was a shaman listening in, I would have them, you know, raise their hand, and they could come forward and do some sort of sigil that present a four-dimensional sigil that would bring us into a space of prosperity and concentrating on the energies that will be here in Boise in terms of giving people the skills that they need. And Christy, I'm sorry that we haven't learned these dance partners stuff yet, and we're learning. And I appreciate your bravery for coming in public and doing the stuff. It is the way that I know to teach badasses. It's the way that I got taught by my mentor, Lorenzo Clark, who's going to be up here in Boise for ESP boot camp. And it's you throw someone on stage and they dance. And by having other players, like from an improv team, go, hey, you see that energy? You feel that energy we just created? Huh. You know, in the past, I've been able to use that energy for X, Y, and Z. But if our goal is A, B, or C, that's a different ritual, a different play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like working with Big Mike, who's one of the co-founders of Advanced Nutrients, a eight-figure-a-year business in fertilizer. And he is presently applying the Frank Kern mass control, and he is ending an event that he's doing online with a 7-day product launch. Why? Because Frank Kern has identified that there's this energy pattern that can be done in 7 days, and that when you follow the certain energy pattern, at the end of that energy pattern, people are in a buying frenzy. It's the art of the tent. What happens is that he is an expert, a master at generating tent. And part of what I learned from moving to Brattleboro and having the honor and the gift of working hand-in-hand with Kelman Knutson is understanding and growing to learn how fragile a teleseminar that is engineered for sale can be. And part of seeing Kelman's body language is a gift of being there, of when he would work with a newbie that wouldn't recognize that when a teleseminar is in sales mode, that everything is in that up energy unless it's a known play. And it might sound like one of the most engineered and synthetic environments that can be, and that's part of what in talk shows we call doing panel, which is people that are not necessarily doing something script, but able to go in and out of patterns of interaction that get communicated as entertainment through mass media. And so I'm also going to ask that if Chris Titan or if Friar Wade are on, if they can hit *5, that way we'll see your hands going up and we can transition from this. But Dr. Parker, for those that are listening that are questioning, you brought up some things that sometimes make people wonder about whether or not you are a voodoo shaman or if you are a board-certified medicinal doctor. You brought up California and certain things that make people wonder about your credentials. Would you mind telling folks a little bit, two things? One is about your credentials, and two is where, how you and I, how our memes first became connected?
Well, I originally started in Philadelphia with psychoanalysis because I've always been interested in the function of the mind. So I didn't just study it. I actually completed training in psychoanalysis in the early 90s. And when you know, all that happened, I went through a variety of changes in psychiatry. I'm a board-certified psychiatrist, child psychiatrist, adolescent psychiatrist. I've been certified in addiction medicine, and really started looking at brain scans from a point of view of how to find more evidence regarding brain function. So it's all been evidence-based, it's all been science-based, and it's all been constructive. It's all been how do we take people to the next level of understanding, which is really your theme, Ben. Where do we, how do we get from here to that other place of understanding? And I'll tell you, there is some serious magic when you sit down next to somebody, elbow to elbow. I never do a brain scan reading across the room. I'm sitting right next to the person, and I'm talking to them about their brain. And in terms of being replicable, in terms of being science and not voodoo, one, I can look at the picture with the person there and say, you haven't told me about this, but it looks like under these circumstances, this is what you do. Tell me if I'm right or wrong based on this picture and the way it shows. And it is a kind of magic, but it isn't magic at all. It's just the evidence from myriads of learning experiences, looking at the pictures and then hooking them up with the evidence from the picture to the person. And sometimes they'll be in such denial about it, they'll say, I don't have that problem. And their wife will say, that is so you. He called it. I don't know how you would deny it. And, you know, so it's really an interesting process. But the taking the magic to that other level is really creating a healing environment for the person so that they can actually grow to in that next level and something effectively can be done from a scientific point of view. So there's no, it's not simply a faith thing, although I'm sure faith is part of it, but and belief is part of it. You can't get there if you don't believe. We've had people, we've shown them their brain, talked about the whole thing, and they just plain old don't believe it. And those people are still going to be untreatable even though you've got evidence staring them in the face from a scientific point of view. So I think the real thing about the whole situation is the guy that I studied with has been doing it since the early 90s. He's on PBS. He's done a lot of work with it. And I think the thing that is most interesting, if you look at scans and what was on the 60 Minutes, is the scan process itself opens the door to really understanding what's going on biologically within the brain. And there's much more to it than just what the brain looks like than pictures. It's much more down on the molecular and cellular physiologic level that can really be very helpful on a practical level to people from making some real clear ideas of what to do next. So that's kind of what it is. And so I've been doing that since 2003. I think I lost you, Ben.
My mute was on. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, no problem.
In what context did you first come across my name?
The Internet. I've been working on the Internet for a while. I'm sorry I got lost in what I got lost in myself, Ben. I apologize. But
I do it all the time. it seems as if I, to quote I Heart Huckabees and the ending line, I bring my own chains everywhere I go.
Yeah. Well, that happened to me. I apologize, but it was really interesting because as I started realizing there was an opportunity in the connections that were available to a great variety of people, larger variety of people through the Internet and through communication on that level, you came across, and I remember reading you and read your book, and I said, oh, my gosh, this guy is such a forward thinker. I love the way we're thinking about branding and the whole level of authenticity and connectedness with that, and this new, and it's really a transformational experience if you start putting, or if one starts pulling it all together under one umbrella and really understanding who you are on an essential level. I thought it was so interesting. So I followed you. Following Twitter wasn't going on then, but I was following you through emails and reading. And then I got so busy because I do have a full practice, and I kind of went off thinking about things. And then somewhere in there I started a blog about 2 years ago because I realized that people needed to know about it. And then in the course of it, I came across you again, oddly, through, you know, yes, I did work with your mother. There's a little bit of a HIPAA code violation there, but, you know, she happened to look me up. We talked, and then she said she had this son named Benjamin Mack. And I said, and he's in the internet business. I said, you mean Ben Mack? And she's like, oh, yeah. It was really kind of a funny experience, very small world situation to realize that you were her son, and she's so bright and so interesting and so diverse in her own life experience. It would have been really an unusual experience growing up with her because she's very, 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 very interesting person. So then I wound up getting with you on Twitter and email and following you around. And turns out my old next-door neighbor is coming out there to be with you in Idaho. So
fantastic. Who might that be?
Sam Knoll.
Oh, that'll be delightful. I've seen Sam Knowles communicate in the past, and certainly will look forward to having that connection when Sam is here. And my mom has shared publicly that you are her doctor, so I'm no lawyer, so, and I certainly don't want to go into those spaces.
Yeah.
And I am grateful for the forward perspective that my mom has been able to share with me from such a young age. And doing AST at 7 certainly was a beautiful and different experience. And she is the person who put me in contact, created the opportunity for me to spend 3 days with Buckminster Fuller as a kid. Mm-hmm. She introduced me to the Dalai Lama and to the Karmapa. I spent a summer living in a Tibetan Buddhist monastery with Rinpoche Tarteng Tuku in Berkeley, California. And my mom is the publicist that broke the soap opera code for TV Guide. And she was the publicist that got a soap opera on the cover of TV Guide for the first time when she was a senior publicist for ABC and was responsible for all of the hoopla around General Hospital and Luke and Laura getting married. My mom is credited for helping to have stoked those flames, and she is a powerful, beautiful woman, and I'm grateful for your care within this and grateful for your help with the work for my family, and grateful for you to come on and share your perspectives on here tonight to address the concern that I can feel within Christy and others that are listening in when we want to feel more empowered in the situation where if we feel that there is some sort of energy that might be threatening for us. Dr. Parker, what are some of the most powerful ways for us to be able to harness our own internal confidence when we need to summons up that little bit of extra backbone and that little bit of fortitude within some sort of strong external force? What's the best way for us to summons our most powerful self?
Well, you know, a question when you say the best, it's hard because there are so many things that come into a confluence of how do you grow into that next level of who you are.
Fantastic.
From exercise to what you eat to, and mainly it's what you think and how you think. That is the bottom line, is how you think and what you think. And if you can, as we were talking about with the person in the room, if you can suspend the old belief system that you had, which was limiting, and one of the books in that regard that I really like is The Structure of Scientific Revolutions by Thomas Kuhn, where he really shows how science doesn't move ahead and thoughts don't move ahead by remaining stuck in old ways of thinking. And if you can actually go into what some have called back in 1994 the third culture, you have the two cultures, the intellectual and scientific, and the third culture is the communication between the intellectual and scientific culture. And that the edge.org is always writing about the third culture. But the bottom line is you go into that other place, which is a new place, which is uncomfortable, but is a blending and is a permission to actually come together in a different reality, which you do so well with the magic and the way you think about things. I think that is an essential next step to permit your mind to accept and actually realize and think about what that next step would be like and actually live in that space. And the only way you can get to that space is live in it for a while, and then it can, you can actually arrive there. So I think how you think is extremely essential.
That's fantastic. Christy, do you have a final question for Dr. Parker before we let him go?
No, I am complete for now, and just so you know, we do have Friar Wade on the line.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Dr. Parker.
Thank you again, Ben. Thank you, Christy.
Thank you.
Friar Wade, welcome to the party.
It requires me to click a button. There you go. Sorry, Friar Wade.
Yeah, that's all right. How are you doing?
Rock and roll, brother.
Rock on. Yeah, it took me a while to get through, though. Those all circuits were busy. I thought that was good news, though.
It is a popular show tonight.
No doubt. So it looks like we're working on our way to Boise there. I made the announcement during one of the Sunday services. And after my message, which I was talking about your destiny, an elderly gentleman came up and slipped me a check for another $50. So, you know, bit by bit, we're getting the funding and, you know, to get out there to Boise.
Fantastic. So we're at $150 on the Get a Friar to Boise contest.
Looks like it.
Awesome. Christy, I'm curious about what you're going to want to learn from Friar Wade, but one of the things that I certainly am excited to learn about Friar Wade is a little bit more about what you're going to be sharing with us around protection from the dark arts. Would you tease us a little bit with what kind of magic and mojo we're going to be able to get from you in Boise around protection from the dark arts?
Well, if you want to think about protection and dark arts, you know, think about my mind immediately goes to the Harry Potter scene with the protection of the dark arts. But you realize that things are happening, that your people are venturing into unknown areas, and there can be a little bit of hesitancy and resistance, and rightfully so. Some of this could very well be considered giving a baby a power tool. And they might not hurt somebody, they might hurt themselves, and they might be cautious about that. So we'll be talking about some ways that they can prepare themselves, make sure that they're in shape, physically, spiritually, and emotionally, so that they can, you know, be as best prepared they can for the new techniques that they're attempting to integrate into their lives.
And you'll be able to do that in 45 minutes. In 45 minutes, you can give people that kind of psychic protection?
Well, actually, 39.7 minutes, but with my 20-page book and 4-CD cassette album, I'm kidding. We will do our best to give an overall, and hopefully I'll have some information for additional reading and research that they can take with them.
That will be fantastic. Christy, what are you most excited to learn with Dr. Friar Wade in the room?
Dr. Professor Friar Wade, yes. Your energy is so delightful and charming and unlike the Roman Catholic priests that I had been exposed to, and your humor just enlivens me. So I just thank you. And I already feel energy protection just in the 3 minutes that you have shared with us. So the other thing that I think is fascinating is as Ben was talking about last week, having the pagans and priests in the same room, and your openness, I just enjoy, as I know in myself, I prejudge people too often, and I would like to bring more of a spirit of camaraderie, of non-judgment to everyone involved, so... That is a skill that I don't, you know, I don't know if you can say that was just natural. Was that natural for you, Friar Wade, that you just have an open tolerance for people, or is that something that you learned and can teach?
Like any trait or talent, even music ability, there, you know, practice or perfect practice makes perfect. And when even in loving people, that... you have to practice, and if you do not come in situations where you are uncomfortable, you cannot grow. So part of being in the field, I have plenty of opportunities to develop my muscles, if you will, in understanding. The same principles that I'll be talking about in understanding apply equally to me in trying to relate to people, because communication is more than a two-way street, and there are plenty of opportunities to be offended, to throw up our guards, to assume things, to even imagine and to anticipate what somebody is going to say, instead of sitting back and receiving and listening. It takes vulnerability, it takes love, and it also has to have an element of protection so that you know that you are secure in yourself, even though you might not be secure and confident in your belief system at that point. You can still be confident that you can open yourself to others and receive without destroying your own identity.
I don't know that I've ever drawn a distinction between my beliefs, you know, and myself. Like, I guess I think of them as one and the same. Like, I am my beliefs. What an interesting belief. Cool.
And true, it's been my experience that our perception and our beliefs, Sometimes I can assume a belief system and I can wear it because that's what society or that's what a religion or that's what a spouse has imposed, or that's the way I expected I should be. So I have adopted or integrated this belief system, but that's really can be changed and be transformed. So sometimes I have multiple belief systems operating at the same time. That's what I'm coming from.
Cool, okay. That does make more sense. I'm sure different situations have indicated to me that I'm taking on other people's beliefs, and that's why I ask differently at the same time. Cool. I'm so excited for that.
Christy, I just created, and fire Wade, I just created noise because I thought that I could bring Michelle Price in and that by muting myself out that it would mute her out, and it didn't work like that. So I'd like to, and pardon me for disappearing and popping back on with a big bundle of energy, but we're lucky and privileged this evening to have a wonderful, beautiful bundle of energy with us. And Christian Firewade, I hope that you will help me welcome to the Telemixer party a dear friend, Michelle Price. Michelle, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me, Ben. This is really cool. It's magic.
It is magic. Now, Christy Hoffman, I want to try and create something scheduling that would involve you. Are you open to you and I and our team receiving 1 hour of coaching a week from Michelle Price?
Absolutely.
Cool. I am going to be paying for this out of our budget, which is my honor and privilege. And now what I want to do as efficiently as possible, just because the background noise from where Michelle is extraordinarily loud.
Yeah, the farmer's market.
I understand. I'm glad that we could get you, Michelle. And Michelle, Christy works night, and so she doesn't wake up until the afternoon in Las Vegas time, and you're in San Diego. But Christy, what would be an ideal time for you in the afternoon to have a one-hour session with me and with Michelle?
I got up early to be on the call tonight, so early morning is actually the best time.
Okay, let me be more specific in my request. If you were to have your choice of hour, what specific hour would you choose?
2 a.m.
Okay, and if we were to do in the middle, if we were not doing in the middle of the night, if we were to be able to overlay your secondary, not your ideal, but your secondary with the traditional work schedule. So imagine it'd be afternoon. What time in the afternoon might you be able to accommodate an hour?
6. If I'm committed to this, I can commit to 6.
Thank you. And Michelle, does 6 p.m. any day of the week work for you?
Pretty much, except tomorrow, but pretty much that's a really good time.
Fantastic. So how about we tentatively plan on Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific for our first weekly coaching call?
Sounds great to me.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Michelle.
Thank you, Ben. I'll talk to you then. We'll be in touch.
Very good.
Bye-bye.
Wow, that was a lot of background noise.
Yes, it was. I kept looking like, ooh, is there something I can click to make it better?
No. It's just the move through
okay. to
Wednesday at 6. We're all good. And we'll invite flies on the wall so that people can listen and hear what the coaching is. And Michelle has agreed to charge us the price that's listed on her website, which is a nice thing.
How refreshing.
It is nice to have what we are being charged and what gets listed being in parity. Or sometimes it feels really good to feel like we're getting a bargain.
Yes.
I mean, that's a good feeling.
Absolutely. So I'm going to repeat 5-star. We got Dr. Ben Mack. I know that there are questions out there, and people are being shy tonight for no apparent reason, or I've just not said 5-star enough. And other than that, it's just you and me.
Rock and roll. I was imagining that Chris Titan would be on with us, and Sean Marler, maybe you could help us out and ping Chris with an email. I'd be grateful. Chris is probably absorbed in some sort of deep technical Tesla manual. That dude is a genius, and he is going to Catholic Mass every Sunday at 8 p.m. He finds that he gets more spiritual fulfillment from going to Catholic Mass, and we're talking old Roman Catholic, new Roman Catholic, not old Catholic like Friar Wade. But that's where this magician, this pagan magician, where he gets the greatest spiritual fulfillment is in the 8 p.m. Sunday Mass at a Catholic church in Eureka, California. So that is part of how he has constructed some of his spiritual fulfillment in his life. And, Chris, we wish you well. Thank you. Looking forward to having you here in Boise. And the transformational mechanism, Christy, that Chris Titan is going to be introducing to us is part of what is going to help our psychics go through the metamorphosis and become executive psychics. Because when you see yourself and you treat yourself as an executive, several things happen. To begin with, you empathize with executives. What that means is you are capable of having executive clients. When you can empathize with executives, you can get clients that can spend executive amounts of money. It comes back to a lot of marketers and even the movie Rushmore, where we talk about targeting the rich. When we're talking about targeting the rich, we're talking about targeting people that are already spending money. And one of the mind hacks that Michelle Price helped me with was she gave me a little shakabuku upside the head, and Michelle Price laid it on me that I was approaching my marketing backwards. And that's part of why I hire coaches in my life, is to get that exterior perspective. And Michelle Chance, I love her, Michelle Price said to me, Michelle Price said, Ben, what you're trying to do is you're going into the magic community and you're trying to find people that are interested in making more money. And I'm like, right? She goes, you're going at this backwards. And Michelle Price has been playing in this game longer than I knew. Similarly, I learned earlier that Brian T. Edmondson, that his family has been playing in the psychic space for far longer than I ever knew. Man, that gentleman has stories coming out of him. Brian T. Edmondson does. What I'm focusing on right now is the ability to reconstruct ourselves in more empowering ways. And where I'm circling this conversation around are the technologies that Chris Titan is bringing to the table, that Friar Wade is bringing to the table, that when we reconstruct ourselves to comport ourselves in ways that have a proven track record of being profitable, we increase the likelihood of our own increased profitability. It's like what Bob Cassidy says about psychic phenomenon, that creating an environment that is warm to it increases the likelihood of genuine psychic phenomena occurring. And I know that some of our listeners are having a difficult time wrapping their head around the notion about skeptics or non-believers being in the same psychic space as those that are closed eyes and true believers. And I want to suggest that you listen to the CD of Lee Earle, The Gentle Art of Cold Reading, because Lee Earle is a non-believer that views his work as being noble. And Christy, this is the point I keep coming back to, which is the difference between being heart-guided versus qualification-minded. Because there are those that try and make controversy out of molehills, and there are those that seek that everyone should play by the same set of standards that they do, and that sometimes can be an interesting perspective. But there are those psychics that say, you know what, unless you're a licensed practitioner of some sort of healing art, like a psychologist or an NLP practitioner or a counselor, that it should be forbidden for you to talk to clients about, for instance, relationship issues. Does that make sense to you, Christy Hoffman?
That people will think that, or do I agree with that?
How about either way that you choose to answer, but just let us know from which perspective you're speaking.
I agree with your perspective of if you have to be licensed to talk about human issues, no one could be a parent. So from that perspective, the licensing means very little to me.
There we go, right? You're talking about what we talked about last time. I'm using some similar material as we are inviting people to hit 5-star and raise their hands. I'd love it if people would tell me where they're stuck in terms of what it would take for them to make the reservation tonight to come to Boise. We're staying at the Boise DoubleTree Riverside Hotel. It is a $5, maybe a $6 cab ride, depending where you want to go downtown. There's a Joe's Crab Shack right next door. There are beautiful mountains you can see from the front door. And you want to hit 5-star to come on and share with us your excitement about coming. Share with us where you're stuck in terms of coming. Or share with us an inspiring thought. Now is the time to hit 5-star.
And there are 2 hot tubs and a heated pool, so bringing your swimsuit to Boise is a good idea.
Fantastic.
That's where
bring
I'll
your
be.
Swimsuit, bring your musical instruments, bring your video cameras, bring your laptop, dress to have fun. This is going to be a party. We're going to have a birthday party for Butterfly Marketing. Because Butterfly Marketing was launched on January 31st, 2006, and Christy, watching the launch process of Butterfly Marketing was fantastic and paradigm expanding for my head, because I was able to see somebody in a day. I was able to see Mike Silsane in a day command 7 figures from thin electrons, and the promise of Butterfly Marketing was such a beautiful idea. The notion that a single butterfly flapping its wings can create a tsunami on the other side of the planet. And there is the notion of viral ideas spreading and growing into something of a force the size of a tsunami. And with the marketing tool that's being revealed at ESP Bootcamp, with the self-replicating physical brochures, we have something that is mimetically, structurally similar to what Butterfly Marketing promised, and it's exciting to be able to share that momentous day of the success of Butterfly Marketing with all of our psychic friends that are coming to join us, Christy, here in Boise.
Absolutely. And a more exciting birthday, I would think, is Dr. Ben Mack, yes?
Thank you, my friend. I get a little bit shy on my birthday, so I like having
you shy?
Facade.
What?
Yes, ma'am. Yes. There are many listening that could share stories of my shyness, and I see myself as shy.
And I have those moments also. You are quite extroverted at times, and yet sometimes you are quite introverted.
Yeah.
I read that somewhere.
I think I've heard that someplace. So I think we might be done with the show if there aren't any hands up. We're having a blast, but it might be time how do they do the Sound of Music? You know, say goodnight. You don't want to hear me
so
sing.
So long.
You,
farewell.
Alvitas
and goodnight. Adieu. Okay, but we got a hand raised with that. See, I guess I should have called the last call. So we will welcome someone from 713 area code. Would you please say your first name?
It's Sean. How are y'all doing?
Welcome.
Oh, hold on just a second. I'm sorry. I had to take it off speakerphone.
Yes, I came out. There you go.
All right. Anyway, yeah, it's Sean. Is there anything, my question was, is there anything besides the CD that we listened to, the Gentle Art of Cold Reading, that we should be preparing with?
Should is an awfully big word for an internet marketer.
It would be beneficial.
There we go. In what ways would you like to be benefited? Because I bet I could find something that might soothe or expand some sort of craving that you have in your head. What are you looking to absorb, ingest, or do?
Well, damn, you just turned that right around and laid it back on me. Thanks. Appreciate
You're
that.
You're welcome. It was fun having Dr. Parker on earlier, and he calls me out on saying best. I was like, oh, you are so right. I just did a best. I did an unmodified best. Earlier, I said best without, like, best for profitability or best for peace of mind or best strategy for, or simply a winning strategy might be a good question to ask. Or so when you leave here, Sean, what are you seeking to do? Because what I want you to do and what I want everyone to be doing is going to keen.com and competing to win $1,000 from me. Because I'd like to tell you, if I may, and I would love to use this space right now, if that's all right with you, to talk about the $1,000 keen.com contest.
Absolutely.
Cool. If you go to espbootcamp.com, you'll see that there is a video there that's, you know, down a few blogs. And Mark Horn has created a Camtasia around the $1,000 Keen contest. And if you click on that link and you register for Keen and you get in there, they're going to give you 3 minutes for free to spend with a psychic. And I want you to go in there and choose a psychic and listen to their 3 minutes. And I want you to go ahead and buy another 3 minutes. And if possible, it would be fantastic for you to be able to accurately capture what these transitions happen, because on Keen.com, one of the profitable skills you're likely to learn is how to overcome an objection or how to overcome the barrier. You're going to need to Zagarnik your first listeners. And the Zagarnik effect is named after a psychologist by the name of Bluma Zagarnik. And Mark Joyner is regularly credited as the marketer to have brought up and championed the importance of Bluma Zagarnik and the importance of her discovery of the Zagarnik effect on marketing. And the Zagarnik effect is structurally a cliffhanger. The Zagarnik effect in marketing is, how do you get somebody from one medium to another or from one space to another? The Zagarnik effect is the bridge. It's the attraction. It's the cliffhanger. It's the juice. It's the mojo. It's the magic that that mimetically strings somebody along, that creates that braingasm of that need of completion to get some incomplete information. The Zeigarnik effect is visually illustrated at craptology.tv. But the Zeigarnik effect, when you hear how the psychic gets somebody to spend their first dollar, because when the first 3 minutes are free and that you go to a psychic who has done a lot of readings, you're going to hear them talk about something in such a way so that they're going to give you half of a piece of information. And in order for you to get that other piece of the information, you're going to have to spend a couple bucks on your credit card. And I want you to simply spend $3, spend 3 minutes. You know what? If you choose a $2 psychic, I'm asking you to spend $6. What I want you to capture is the structure of how they engaged you. And so, Sean, when you asked me what I want you to work on prior to getting here to Boise, I want you to work on your keen profile, and that way that you're going to be able to possibly have a five-figure February. You see, what's going to allow me to have my seven-figure day in March is getting people to Boise that can become $1,000 psychics. If I can get three psychics that make $1,000 in one day on Keen, I'm confident that I can turn that into a million-dollar product, because testimonials, authentic testimonials, are so valuable. If I can get three different people that say, you know what, I'd never thought of myself as a psychic until I came across Dr. Ben Mack's ESP boot camp, and after going to Boise for a day and a half, I learned everything that I needed to know in order to be able to create a profile on Keen.com, sit down and give myself a $1,000 day. You know what? I'm able to work one day a week and make $1,000 in a single day. When I get three psychics that are telling that story, I have myself a million-dollar product. And that's why it's really easy for me to spend $1,000 out of pocket on the first psychic that is from our group of friends, our network of executive psychics that has $1,000 days. I'm going to give you $1,000 in cash. So if you retail out there for $2 a minute, let's just say, you know, and so you have a 500-minute day at $2 a minute, so that's less than 10 hours, like in 9 hours of being on the phone. So you've grossed $1,000. Keen takes, I don't do the math exactly, but it's a little bit less than 50%, 40-some-odd whatever percent for the lower numbers. It's less when you make more money. And you can look at the math. But so you make several hundred bucks from Keen. The first of our psychic friends to have a retail of $1,000 day on Keen, I will give you $1,000 cash if you share with us what was the secret to your success. That's worth $1,000 to me easy, because that's a story I can sell, Sean. Sean, if you can make me $1,000, I'll make you $1,000 if you bring in $1,000. Is this sounding fair to you, Sean?
Yeah.
If you simply get on Keen and start making money, if you have a $100 day on Keen, some of the skills, Sean, that you are going to learn are going to serve you well wherever you go. Part of marketing is learning how to say what is going to arrest people's attention. And what you're going to be learning is how to intellectually finger people, is what I call. I know that gets a little graphic, but we're in the business of giving people multiple braingasms. And I've been studying how to give people multiple braingasms in all different phases of marketing. And I go back to what I've been saying for the last several years, is that marketing is the legitimate face of magic. And when I read scripts, like, I'm not encouraging people to do this script. I'm encouraging people to learn the script that is on the Lee Earl, The Gentle Art of Cold Reading. But, Sean, I'd like the opportunity now to share with you a script I bought on eBay for $20. That was the winning script for Psychic Cleo. She's the psychic that made over $100 million with her network of psychics a couple of years ago. Sean, may I read you the beginning of the script that she gave to her psychics to read when people kept called in?
Absolutely.
And so realize that this is $5.97 a minute entertainment or engineering. What I'm about to read to you, people would have read to them or told to them or recited to them or performed to them or insert whatever profitable verb that you want right there. People would engage their credit card at $5.97 a minute. That's almost $6 a minute to hear this told to them. And so what would happen is you would come through, and similar to how Christy Hoffman says, please say hi and your name is, so as opposed to you saying, hi, this is Sean, so you'd come on and you'd say, hi, this is Sean, and I would say to you, Sean, I must tell you that as soon as I heard your voice just now, I picked up some very positive energy that's coming from you, which tells me that you have a wonderful spirit. I always feel that things happen for a reason, and that there's a special reason why you picked up the phone at the exact moment which you did and you reached me. If you would have picked up the phone just a minute earlier or a moment later afterwards, you would have reached another psychic. I want you to know that I feel that we have this special connection, and I know that I can help you with any questions that you may have concerning any of the happenings that are going on in your life right now. Without you saying another word, I can feel that you are a very sensitive, warm, and intelligent person. You are very spiritually evolved and not afraid to explore the unknown, but I see a need for a little more balance in your life at this time. You see, many times you kind of find yourself flying off into Never Never Land and perhaps losing sight of your goals. I want you to know that you are basically a very strong person, though too often I see that you doubt your own abilities and judgments, don't you? Sean,
are you looking
still
for
with
agreement?
Me?
Yeah, I thought you were reading. Yes,
all good.
Absolutely.
At that point, they ask a question, and I probably
right.
was a little bit on a soapbox as opposed to whatever energy would be better for eliciting a response. I haven't done readings using this script. I have done them reading the Lee Earl script, and then it's a matter of simply doing a cold reading, and people will tell you what they agree with or don't agree with, and then they'll give you the credit for having brought that out with them. It's a little trick I like doing when people come up to me and they say, Ben, have you read Malcolm Gladwell's book, Blink? And I say, I absolutely loved it. May I ask you, what did you think was the simplest takeaway from it? And what people will say, or I'll say the most important takeaway, either way, I like simplest, depending on the person. What they will tell me is one of two things generally, that either Blink was fantastic because it just showed you that when you become a certain level of expert, you just know. And then other people would say, Blink was fantastic because it proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that you just can't trust your gut. And that's fantastic. They are answers that are, 180 degrees. And what's beautiful about the book Blink is that it presents both perspectives. And so if somebody brings up the book Blink with me, if I am seeking to do business with them, a way to develop my rapport to do business with them is to give them agreement. And so by asking, what did you like most, you know what? Then I can make them look and feel good because then I am going to tell them how true their valuable perspective is. Encourage their dreams, justify their failures, allay their fears, confirm their suspicions, and help them throw rocks at their money. This is a seminar for badasses where I'm teaching you the tools that work. And the best way for you to learn the tools that work is to work the tools. And the best way to work the tools is to go to espbootcamp.com, scroll down the page so you see where it says it's talking about the Keen.com contest, click on the link there, create your profile, and go and fill out your profile. Go and invest a few bucks in doing a psychic reading and take notes on what it is that they're saying to you and how they're doing it. You can make this work. Whether you are a true believer or a firm skeptic, both personalities have an ethical perspective around this. Lee Earl views himself as being noble by helping lighten people's loads. And psychics that know that they're giving advice from the ether know that they are giving advice from the ether as well. And so, Sean, what is between you and next week on the teleseminar telling me about the success that you've had with setting up your Keen.com profile? Are you game for doing that between now and next week?
I'll go check it out, yeah.
So you're going to check it out. You're not committed to creating a profile yet.
Creating a profile is kind of, I want to know what I'm creating a profile for. What is it? I'm creating a profile to present myself as a psychic, or am I creating a customer profile? I mean, I haven't even looked at it yet. I've been offline for the last week, pretty much.
Fantastic. I'm going to ask you to just simply plow through it, because you can always go back and make changes, but simply fill out forms, because it will be both. But you know what? At the beginning, it's only going to be to simply get your name and profile up and running. And then inside, you're going to create these professional avatars. And you can watch Mark Horn's video, and he'll lead you by the hand step by step. But I'm grateful that I've got your commitment here to go and check it out and take a look at the video.
Yes, absolutely.
That would be fantastic. So does that help you feel better prepared to get the most out of your weekend here in Boise at ESP Bootcamp?
Yeah, yeah. And I
appreciate your being a badass and coming on. Christy, what question might you have for Sean? We caught
you
snacking. You were snacking, weren't you?
You know.
You were snacking. What kind of snack?
I'm just excited to meet Sean. I don't know that I have a question, because we've known each other online, and now we'll get to meet in person. So I have a question for Sean. Sean, are you bringing your swimsuit?
My swimsuit. You know, I don't think I've even put on a swimsuit in probably 5 years.
Wow.
But I can pick one up. A hot tub.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
There we
because,
go.
Because, you know, my idea, Ben said, oh, let's go for a sleigh ride. And I thought, okay, let's sit in a hot tub. It's Boise, Ben. Sorry,
no,
that's very geographically impolite of me in my warm weather, which is, I don't know, 40 degrees. It's freezing here.
Oh, man.
Awesome. Sean, we're looking forward to having you here in Boise. Welcome. Thanks for coming on the program tonight.
All right. Y'all have a good one.
Appreciate it.
Oh. We have another hand. Friar Wade has a comment.
Fantastic.
Friar Wade,
welcome back on.
Welcome back. The question is on Facebook. I mean, we've got the ESPBootcamp.com, correct? Is there a group on Facebook as well that for the people who are planning to come or wanting to have some more information that they can go to that group, or was I hallucinating?
You may have been hallucinating, and you would be able to see it by going to, and the spelling here is tricky. I break one of my own rules of marketing, but going to magiccastle.com, and magic is spelled M-A-G-I-C-K. So it's M-A-G-I-C-K-C-A-S-L-E, C-A-S-T-L-E. So it's magic, M-A-G-I-C-K, and then castle.
I see. Okay, very good. Because I was trying to do a search in there for ESP Bootcamp or Boise, and I wasn't coming up with too much success. So that's why I wanted to.
I use the Cloak of Invisibility and private groups on Facebook. We have 190 strong in there.
Well, that would be great. You know that if anybody has any wares that they want to donate to, bring a friar to Boise, they might want to suggest that, because we're putting together some goodie bags for that purpose. And we've had some people that have donated some consulting time, and I understand that you've have a donation as well that people can register for and buy, and Katie's working on getting that website up real soon.
I saw Katie's email earlier and excited that the two of you are prospecting together and excited to entrain with everybody and that prospecting energy. Because, Christy, I know that you and I are both fans of learning and studying marketing, and what Friar Wade is doing right now is he's making it happen. Friar Wade is coming from the perspective of he's coming to Boise, and right now he's in fundraiser mode in order to make it happen. We figured that, you know what, for $300 we can get his body here, and once his body's here, we can figure out how to take care of his body once it's here. We've got $150. Sean Marler donated $100. A gentleman from Friar Wade's church donated $50. We need another $150 for Friar Wade in order to get his physical body here. And if somebody has a hotel room here that they want to get a second bed in the room and would like to donate that, we would be grateful. If there are whatever you are able to provide for the space to bring a friar to Boise so that all of us can benefit and learn protection from the dark arts. And we want to say thank you publicly and often to Katie Darlington for being a badass and stepping up and helping to figure out how to get a friar to Boise.
Right on.
Thank you, Friar Wade.
Awesome.
Christy, do we have
I'm glad we mentioned
up?
The Facebook group because I almost forgot about it.
Right. Are there other hands
There's
up
so
or
many
are we
places.
Wrapping?
We're wrapping because it's 15 after, well, 18 after. And so last call for questions. You've got 5 seconds. Five star, if that's what it is. We'll start the countdown again. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That was fast. Okay. That would be it for tonight. Oh, wait. We had a last minute. Carl just made it under the wire. Carl, are you with us?
Zero Meister.
Yes.
Rock and roll. Hey, Carl. Welcome.
How are you doing, Ben?
Awesome. Great to have you here with me and Christy and Friar Wade and Dr. Parker and all of our friends and Sean Marler and those that are listening from home. And through the Romper Room magic mirror, we see you sitting in your living room and welcome you to our program. How are you, Carl?
Good Lord, that was a blast from the past.
Amen. Slices, dices, even purees, makes mounds and mounds of julienne fries, shines the chrome on any car. Now that's a clever cleaver.
Oh, boy. Hey, Ben, I wanted to ask you about Thelma Knutson's stuff. I know that you have I've seen where you've counted him as one of your mentors, and I just got the Perpetual Marketing Machine, and I know this is kind of an off of the topic question, but I was wondering if you maybe had any information or might want to give some pointers to someone new to that product.
Happy that you asked. Thank you, Carl. Number one is I would recommend breaking out an entire day. You know, a day that you can have free, like a Saturday or a Sunday or whatever day it is that you can give yourself some space. And simply plowing through as much of that material as you can in a single day. I'm a huge fan of doing extended, deep bursts of focused, productive energy. Now, the Thelma Knutson proprietary perpetual marketing machine is a fantastic construct. You see, what Thelma Knutson was seeking to set up, he was inspired by one of his mentors, the great Joshua Safran. And Joshua Safran had what he called NPOD, which is Net Profits On Demand. And what's even better than Net Profits On Demand? Well, a perpetual marketing machine. Now, I'm not really pitting one against the other. You know what? They are two brilliant systems that are great methods of teaching the newbie marketer. And, Carl, I'm glad that you have chosen Thelma as one of your mentors. And his recent program where he was giving away his perpetual marketing machine system was just an unbelievable thing for people that were badass enough to say yes. Now, where I have seen people make an extraordinary amount of money quickly has happened in the case of a Las Vegas guest, Michael. Christy, what's Michael's last name that was there in Vegas? Buddy with Warren Whitlock, myself, he was working the stage manager for one of the Cirque shows. my proper noun, Anamia.
It's not the magician.
There is background magic. Our buddy Michael Walker, there we go. Michael Walker did Telemann's system profitably, and he did a series that involved myself and Dave Laconic around mind hacks, around different profitable thinking systems. And that worked, and that was profitable for him. What was more profitable faster was when I watched Andy Duncan apply Telemann Knudsen's perpetual marketing machine, and he had a seven-day period where he went from being broke and afraid of having his car repossessed, and he wound up netting five figures in less than a week. I think he netted like 35 or 42,000, which is just fantastic. And the construct is that you create a part of the construct to get up and going quick, because what Telemann recognized is that somebody without a list wants to get a list as quickly as possible, because until you've got a list, you don't really have a certain level of bargaining credentials, if you will. I've got multiple lists, but between them, I can send emails to about 22,000 people. And being able to send emails to 22,000 people means that, number one, I've got money that comes in each day from those emails going out. Number two, it means that somebody with a five-figure list or a six-figure list will consider emailing for me because of the reciprocation. But therein is the double bind. There is what some people would call the catch-22. And the reason why some people would see it as a catch-22, the reason why some people would see it as a double bind, the reason why some people would see it as some sort of knot that needed to be unraveled is that notion of how do you get people to mail for you because you've got a list if they won't mail for you because you've got a list until you've got a list. And so what Telemann created was a system so that a complete newbie is able to create a construct that puts it in the interest of the gurus to participate. And that's what you got for free, and that's what you got that a year and a half ago people were paying $4,000 or $5,000 a piece for. And on top of that, they were paying, I believe it was $6.95, maybe it was only $5.95 a month, maybe it was $4.95. It was at least $4.95 a month for Telemann's Black Diamond Line for his coaching program. As well they should, because how powerful is that? How powerful is the system where you can go from nothing to creating a construct where you could get like six or eight gurus who all agree to mail for you at the same time so that you can pop your list? When I did this for myself, and I'll be doing this construct again in March, but when I did that construct, the perpetual marketing machine, for myself 2 years ago, January, I went from having a list that was just over 3,000 to a list that grew by 30,000. I grew my list by 30,000. I had a list of over 30,000 2 years ago in January on my birthday, just before my birthday. On January 29th, I began growing my list. And by February 5th, I believe it was, I had grown my list by over 30,000 subscribers using the construct within Telemann Knudsen's perpetual marketing machine. Now, the biggest hinge, the reason why Andy Duncan made so much more money than Michael Walker is the profitability of the target market. So, Carl, what target, what niche are you imagining that you are going to choose to own, to love, to make money from, till death do you part?
Well, I think I have more than one, actually.
I want you to choose one that, death till you part can be you're killing the website, 3 months from now. And I want it to be something that's not the total passion of your heart, because you know what? It's tough to make a living off of the passion from your heart. And I know many people might want to come to words with me over that, and you're welcome to your perspective, and I can share the angle that I was coming from there. But let's choose one for simply working right now, Carl. If you were to choose a target audience that appeared profitable to you at this moment, what would you be seeing in your mind?
I think probably Well, I just purchased a domain called guruslap.com.
Okay.
And I'm thinking about doing a site that has...
You're coming to Boise?
I have not been able to put that together yet.
All right, cool. I'm great. I'm fine with that. If you want to do GuruSlap away from Boise, awesome. You're going to have trouble. You're going to be congested, and you're going to be frustrated, and you're going to wonder why you aren't profitable, and you're going to start being cynical and talking about how this crap doesn't work.
That's a possibility.
GuruSlap is this idea that there are these, you know, GuruSlap is that you're going to slap the guru. And that's fine, but it ain't going to work for the perpetual marketing machine. There are profitable angles.
That's not it.
Okay. Well, the language is off-putting. So it won't work to do the perpetual marketing machine with GuruSlap, because this is Thelman Knutson's perpetual marketing machine is a cooperative superselling system.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that it's generating positive energy and empowering all of those that play. And GuruSlap has this notion of slap in it. And when Thelman has veered away from one of that basic principles of cooperative superselling, he has watched his sales plummet. So I will suggest that you find an audience that where the concept is empowering. I love working with women that are seeking to empower and coach and train single moms and things along those lines, because when I think about that type of energy, when I imagine getting drinkable water to every human on this planet, I get excited. When I hear the energy of GuruSlap, I'm not wanting to be involved in it. In the past, I've been a fighter, and one of the things we're going to hear Chris Titan talk about in Boise is about how he and I used to run what we'd call toxic marketing, which had some very effective applications and wound up being very uncomfortable for he and I psychically, from a psyche perspective, having this notion of a GuruSlap. I don't imagine serving a newbie well in terms of enrolling gurus to want to mail for you, and that's one of the key criteria of Thelman's system, is creating the desire, inventing the desire in the mind's eye of the gurus to mail on your behalf at the same time.
Maybe I should rethink the name, because what my vision for that was not actually trying to slap the gurus,
uh-huh.
but more actually trying to slap the people that are ripping the gurus off.
I see. There's another... If you were on one of the calls where David Garfinkel talked about the five reasons people buy, it was a fantastic call, because David Garfinkel cut to the chase, and he said that there are seven reasons that people are going to give you money, period. And the seven reasons that people are going to give you money are that you are going to help them make more money, that you're going to help them save money, that you are going to help them get out of pain, that you are going to give them pleasure, that you are going to increase their health, and there's a seventh one I'm not remembering presently. And it basically says, if you are not selling one of those specific things, then you're making it tough on yourself. And one of the mistakes that I see newbies make again and again is that they find ways to trick themselves into making it a really tough exercise. I would love to see you take as a first go something where you find a passionate target and sell something like what other people are already selling.
So do you think that getting someone out of the pain of being ripped off is not a good...
Correct. Okay. If you're in pain about being ripped off, you aren't primed to be buying again. I want what Joshua Shaffrin has called an oholic audience. I want an audience that's going to buy again and again and again. And you know what? earlier before this call, I was on the phone with my alchemist friend, Jeffrey Edwards. And when Jeffrey Edwards and I were talking from an alchemical perspective, we were talking also about the media in the psychic space, from marketing for psychics to how to do cold readings to how to do fulfilling readings. And he and I were talking about how 80% of the material in the field is crap, but the 20% is so scrumptious and so valuable and so good, we happily buy the crap. Why? Because it's worth the chase. Because when I discover something like the Bob Cassidy book on the artful mentalism of Bob Cassidy, and he gives me cleaner, clearer descriptions on how to manufacture, how to create transformational mechanisms, when he spells out the engineering of the blueprinting of creating new transformational mechanisms, I'm like fan-frickin-tastic. So yes, to answer your question, I do imagine the notion of somebody feeling ripped off and that any contrivance around easing that pain, they're not likely to spend money to ease their pain from being ripped off. They're hesitant. They're wounded. They are feeling ripped off. You want to identify a target audience. People that feel wounded about having made a bad purchase, that's not a target audience. That's somebody who had a bad moment. A target audience is something like single moms. The target audience is like Broncos fans. A target audience is psychics. A target audience is people working from home. A target audience is those that love horseback riding, in fact, specifically Western horseback riding, in fact, specifically the Western Appalachia, blah, 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 blah. You pick a target that has a buying pattern of oholic. They are people that are insatiable. They are insatiable. They want more and more and more. And my friend Carl, I'm so glad that you are having this conversation now, because I'm going to save you a lot of time by explaining to you that people that felt duped is not a target audience. Do you feel like that's going to save you time?
Yeah, I'm actually glad I brought it up.
What else would you like to be glad that you brought up?
Bodybuilding.
Fantastic, bodybuilding. And we're going to close this out. We're going to make bodybuilding lead people to the desire to, when you hang up the phone tonight, completing your reservation, making your plane trip to Boise. Most people are coming in January 30th. The event is going to start January 31st. Registration is at 9. The doors open at 9:45, and then the doors close at 10 a.m. And, Carl, we're going to talk about bodybuilding in a moment, but I want for folks to get the idea of the dynamic experience that they get from being here in Boise. That first 45 minutes, from 10 to 10:45, you will experience what my evening show, the Psychic Rapport Party, is all about. You will laugh, you will have fun, and you will see improvement in your psychic abilities in that first 45 minutes. And I was challenged yesterday to come up with a guarantee. It's free. So at first I was like, what kind of guarantee am I going to put on top of free? And here's the guarantee I'm bringing to the table. Anybody that has flown in from out of town, that at the end of the first 2 hours does not want to spend the remainder of the day and a half there, I will give you $100 cash for your coming to the event. Now, this includes spouses. So if you want to bring your spouse and you know that they aren't going to stay in the room, they can have $100 spending money in Boise to go out and do something, that get their hair done, go to the movies, get a drink at the bar, go to Flix and have the most amazing homemade tomato soup you've ever had. There are things to be done here in Boise, but my guarantee is you're going to be so enthralled at the first 2 hours that although you could have $100 cash in your hand, you are going to be glued with your butt to the seat, because you are going to see how what you get here at Boise ESP Boot Camp is empowering you by the moment. And Carl, in terms of bodybuilding, how can I be of service to helping you as a bodybuilder or helping you in terms of choosing bodybuilding as a target audience?
Choosing as a target audience.
Absolutely. Fantastic. I love bodybuilding as a target audience, and I'm going to highly recommend that when appropriate that you're going to get the copywriting course from John Carlton, because John Carlton has worked with so many bodybuilders and has worked with so much around the male ego that you're going to learn some fantastic skills from him. And I love the fact that you've chosen bodybuilding as a profitable target audience for working Kelman Knutson's perpetual marketing machine. And here's why. Because bodybuilders are those profitable oholic audience. They will buy bodybuilding product after bodybuilding product after bodybuilding product. So now, Carl, what I want you to do between now and next week, Carl, is to identify bodybuilders that you see online. And this is critical. You ready, Carl?
I'm typing it right now.
That you find bodybuilders that appear to you to have lists. You can generally tell not just if they've got an opt-in box, not just if they're asking for a name and email address. You can generally tell by looking at their marketing system whether or not it looks like they've gotten a lot of people to opt in. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you'll be way wrong. But I want you to make a list of bodybuilders and what you would guess might be the size of their list. And you know what? Within Kelman Knutson's perpetual marketing machine, it gives you the super ninja secret to how to identify the person who can actually choose, has the decision-making power as to whether or not to mail. Because here's a key thing. In Boise, if you ask me questions at the bar, I will tell you every truth I know, every secret, every mind hack about how to go from zero to profitable really quickly. I will answer every question that you have. And what I know to be true is that if you ask me to mail my list, I don't have the authority to mail my own list. I do not. I gave that authority to Mark Horn, and the only way for me to have Mark Horn fully manage that for me, to be the general manager of my operations, is if I don't have the authority to muck up his system. Is this making sense, Carl?
Yeah, I like it, yeah.
And when you meet these gurus, when you meet someone like Kelman Knutson, when you meet someone like Sean Casey, when you meet someone like Marlon Sanders, they have become masters of efficiency that smell other efficient systems. They also smell certain types of respect, and they smell certain types of resentment. And that's why Guru Slap was unappealing from a name basis, because it's got a sense of not championing the experts, not championing the mavens. And you're going to need to address the gurus from their maven strength in order to empower them and excite them to say yes to you. And Kelman Knutson teaches you that in his perpetual marketing machine. And if this were a StomperNet product, as you know, I'm faculty there, when it actually became the product, we would be editing out my stuttering. And for what we're doing with the Badasses and Executive Psychics and ESP Bootcamp, it's great for you guys to hear this rawness. And this is the opportunity for you to come and suck my brain clean and get quantum growth. And I'm giving it away for free because it's a numbers game for me. It's what Gary Halbert said that we are in the business of. And, Carl, let me ask you, what are you in the business of?
I'm in the business of constantly improving myself.
You're in the business of making money.
There you go.
And how are you in the business of making money? The way that you're in the business of making money is that you are in the mathematics business. And by always be testing, you are identifying ways that you can be continually improving your profitability and the prowess and power of your systems. And if you aren't technically minded, don't worry. This is easily outsourceable to the talent and the friends that you'll be meeting here in Boise. And you want to focus on your strengths. And your strength is that which you can knowledgeably and profitably, continuously profitably move forward. Osborne identified four primary types of profitable preferences. I call them four profitable magical thinking patterns, and it's ideating, clarifying, implementing, and developing. And you know what? You need to find your partners that balance you within that. And you need to find something that when you can set it and forget it and it keeps making you money and you make repeat profits and repeat profits and you have created an automated profit machine, an APM, that is when you're able to go hands-free. And for many people, the ability to make $1,000 from their couch would change their life. And the technology that we are instilling in you in Boise is exactly that, how to make an executive salary from your couch. And, Carl, whether you come to Boise or not, I wish you the greatest prosperity on your trip to wealth within the bodybuilding niche, because congratulations, my friend, you're a badass for choosing a profitable target, because bodybuilders will buy product after product after product. And when you delve into Tellman's Perpetual Marketing Machine, you're going to learn that trick of how to reach the actual guru, how to reach the actual decision maker. Because if someone at a bar is trying to sell me on mailing their list, I authentically cannot. And as they push too far, I can – and so I want to teach you guys those etiquette so that you don't step on the same landmines I do, so that you can shortcut your process and get to where you have sustainable money coming in much faster. And, Carl, if you get your ass here to Boise, you're going to find that it happens even faster than these once-a-week calls on the telemixer. So I'd like for you to keep that possibility in mind, that what you are going to identify in terms of the workability of your profitable target and marketing is going to be well worth your investment of joining us here for the party of the century in Boise.
I know that.
Appreciate your badass calling on, asking a great question. Christy, I am amazed at your badass for producing the seminar, and we are 3 weeks away from our home stretch. And on Wednesday, it was 6 p.m. Pacific, is when we're going to have our badass coaching call with Michelle Price. I'm going to let you close out the program, Michelle. I just called you Michelle, Christy. Christy, I'm going to let you close out the program, so you're going to bring us home. And then you're going to say goodnight, and then that will be – so the final word or final closing protocol ritual, the ritual of liberation that we know to be Fun Diva Krista Hoffman, thank you so much for having me on your telemixer this evening. And for our friends at home, thank you so much of investing your energies with us tonight. I am grateful for your presence and your energies. Thank you, my friends.
I have a psychic prediction to close out the call. So I predict that Ben's next ESP boot camp will not be, as he thinks, 1997. I think it's going to be higher. So everyone who is on the fence, do it now or you're going to regret thousands of dollars that you will have to spend later. I just can feel the energy that it will happen faster and sooner and bigger than everyone imagines. So if you miss this opportunity, you will be, I am psychically predicting you will be disappointed to not be there, because I am looking forward to it, looking forward to meeting everyone in Boise, and looking forward to next Monday, January 12th, same time, same number, for another installment of the ESP Telemixer. So, Dr. Ben Mack, thank you. Thank you to Dr. Chuck Parker and to Friar Wade for coming on the line and sharing, and everyone who shared. This has been fabulous. So, from Las Vegas, fabulous Las Vegas, this is Fun Diva Christy Hoffman signing off. Good night, everyone. Oh, let's unmute just for fun. Can I unmute? Unmute everybody. Say hi.
Thank you.
There
thank
we go. Everybody say good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night, Ben.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Learn the lessons.
Yeah.
Good night.